The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to week 9 of K4Wins.com, the podcast. The SEC game of the week doesn't have Texas, doesn't have Georgia, doesn't have Tennessee, doesn't have Alabama, does have LSU and A&M. We'll get into it. The team with the only undefeated ATS this year. You guys know who it is?
Indiana? It depends on the close.
No, they have a bye this week. That would be Army. Army is 6-0-1 against the spread this year. And by the way, the worst this year is North Carolina at 1-7. They're against the spread, or 1-6, should I say, against the spread. So Army, if you're like the legend, you jump on Army every single week. You can't do that this week. Although Navy's only lost one game against the spread, you can hop on them as well.
I take a little exception to Indiana not being in there. It depends the close on that week one game. I gave it out on the starting lineup, and they covered by a field goal. I know it's only got somewhere, but
you only Indiana's have
basically.
You only have two teams in NCAA football that have not trailed this year. You know who they are?
Mm-mm.
Indiana and Army.
Indiana Army.
They have not trailed for 1 second.
All right, Hoosiers.
No doubt. Here's our group. Case Kiefer, of course, chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun. He's out there. He's also the beat writer for the Las Vegas Raiders. We're going to be talking to him. He's got all kinds of great stuff this week. Kip Kiefer, executive director of the BRCC, Birmingham Radio. And, of course, the Racecourse Casino does fantastic work for us, and I get a chance to do a lot of things with him. Super good guy and a great picker in his own right. Kai Gregory, handicapping expert for years and playing both sides. He knows what's going on. Tony Curry, I worked at ESPN Sports Radio for 30 years. Welcome again to K4Wins.com. Let's get into a couple of local games. We always want to do that. I don't even really want to talk about the Auburn Kentucky game but I know there's some people that are going to be watching the show. Case, Vegas even looking at this game, Kentucky Auburn. It's 2.5. What are people saying about that?
I am Auburn money line for me. I think I bet plus 125 early in the week. It's down to 1 actually this morning. Finally, I was getting a little worried because I really thought the number was wrong and there'd be Tigers money. And there hasn't been all week till now. We're recording on Friday morning. Saw some money come in. I could end up getting Auburned, I guess. But I just feel like they've had one or two fatal mistakes every game. And that's been the difference. If you really look at their underlying statistical profiles and even talent wise, I think Auburn's the better team than Kentucky. Again, Kentucky usually a little bit more buttoned up. So I'm setting myself up for failure here and getting a swift kick into the rear to lose. But I think Auburn's the better team. So a plus money price, especially 125. I couldn't turn that down. And I would still take them as any underdog. I'd probably pump the brakes if they become the favorite here.
Kai, the Tigers not having the kind of season, obviously, a lot of people thought they were going to have. And obviously, right now, from a betting standpoint, if you're not going to win, at least cover the spread, right? Kai?
Oh, I'm talking to Kai. Sorry about that. Absolutely. You know, that game, you don't have any idea who's going to show up. If there was a way to bet the game where you could take Auburn for the first three quarters and Kentucky for the game, that's
exactly
the way I would do it.
Well, that's them in the movie we've seen over and over this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of like Auburn, you know, under their team total, 21.5. But, you know, who would have thought Kentucky would have given up, 48 last week to Florida? I don't know, you know,
but you guys know how that works from a football standpoint. If you're a guy playing defense and a high profile player and your unit's playing well, you're playing your guts out and your offense just game after game is not productive, eventually you kind of lose your fire and your incentive as a defense. And it's unfortunate, but I've seen it so many times over the years that a team that gets stamped as a great defensive team just kind of loses their mojo because what's the point? Your offense can't score.
That's right. I mean, no matter how well your defense is, you're still going to lose the football game. And it gets to the point where it's like, what's it matter if we give up 17 or 67? So, yeah.
Let's talk about these results, Tony, before we get too deep. I mean, I know we're focusing on college football, but last weekend, I mean, you can't. October has been incredible for K4, but last week, just in the NFL, 18-2-1 on Sunday and Monday. I mean, that's unheard of. In October, we're 4-0. 7-1-1 and 7-1 on NFL result. That's pretty good. Then you go
to the overall
result for all the games. 144, 85, and 5, 62%. We actually went up 0.7 of this weekend on the picks. So we're sitting there at 62%. You know, last Saturday we were 10-5. You know, I don't like playing 15 games, but we did. So, you know, can't be upset last weekend with a 19-6 weekend.
If you're a gambler, if you're a gambler, you're better. 62% is golden. I mean, that's it. I mean, if you're listening for the first time, you're like 62% minus the juice. What are you talking about? 62% is rocking hard, man. It's good.
Well, Kyle, you were saying before the show that a lot of that statistical excellence is kicking butt in the team totals, which maybe some people tuning in are casual fans. Explain what that means.
I'm a big fan of team totals. And so, like, you know, for instance, this weekend, you know, Navy, you're getting 13.5, 14 points. I got Navy Monday plus 15. A lot of people think that's a horrible side. You know, like we were talking about before, Tony's on the opposite side of that. I got Navy, like I said, at 15. I like their team total over 19.5 this weekend against Notre Dame. A lot of people don't like that. They like Notre Dame. They think the big line, Navy hasn't played anybody. Okay, I'll still take them, you know, all day. Just like before we even get into Oklahoma Ole Miss, I love Oklahoma over their team total of 13.5 points. So if you're playing that game, you don't have to worry about spreads, nothing. All you're rooting for the entire game is for Oklahoma to score two touchdowns, two extra points.
Yeah, the other team means nothing. Win. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I love doing those first half game, all of it.
Yeah, and it seems like when you get hot on those, you get smoking hot on those. It's just fantastic. Kip, we got Alabama, Missouri, and obviously the season's not lost yet. Alabama's lost a couple of ball games. They're giving up 18. It's homecoming up there in T-Town. Interesting enough, the Texas line is also 18 as they give up 18 on the road at Vandy, a squad that's 5-2 against the spread. But Alabama, are we expecting them to turn a light switch on and all of a sudden get this thing right and win by 3 touchdowns? Alabama has not gone 0-4 against the spread in 17 years. They have not covered their last 3 games. Will they go 0-4 this weekend against Missouri, Kip?
Here's the deal. Missouri was a legitimate threat. With Brady Cook now declared out of the game, this is absolutely crippling for Missouri. I don't know. Case might have some more insight on the backup guy. I think his name is Pine. He's played at Notre Dame briefly and some other schools. But the 2 quarters he played last against Auburn, Missouri did not move the ball at all. So unless some great revelation or great aha moment has occurred for the backup quarterback, I think that, and you saw the line just go crazy when the Brady Cook announcement was made. I just don't see them being very competitive in this spot coming into Bryant Denny with Alabama going through the frustrations they have. I think Alabama still has a lot of broken parts here and things that need to be addressed. But I just, without Brady Cook, who was like William Wallace coming out of the locker room after 2 quarters of going out of the game with an ankle injury in the first quarter. And even with playing on one leg, he brought that team back. He is absolutely the leader. I don't think Missouri is competitive in this game. And I think Alabama gets a huge break that he's out.
Case, Missouri's Nate Noel, their number one running back, is also out, although their backup has got 6 touchdowns on the season. By the way, Alabama's 7-9 against the spread after losses since 2010. What's your thoughts and what's Vegas looking at in Las Vegas when it comes to Alabama and Missouri?
Yeah, I think Missouri has like 7 starters out, including, like you said, Noel. I think their number 2 receiver is a Cooper. I think he's out. They have at least 1 offensive lineman out, maybe another one doubtful. I don't think Brady Cook's been ruled out. I could be wrong unless you guys heard something. I think he's doubtful. I don't expect him to play. I feel like a lot of times on this show, I say, oh, I got a great number here. I wouldn't bet it anymore. Well, here's a one where I got a terrible numbers. When this hit 14.5 kind of midweek, I thought, I'm just not laying this high of a price with Alabama right now. I actually bet Missouri. And then after that, it's just been one injury after the other. That's my worst bet of the week. I do not feel confident with Missouri plus 14.5 at all, especially now that it's 17.5. I just think, I mean, beyond just Cook and Pine is terrible. I'm sure he's a good kid, but Pine is just terrible. Why do you think they rushed Brady Cook back from the hospitals? They have no chance with Drew Pine. So I think he's going to be playing. And like I said, a bunch of other starters down. This is a great spot for Alabama to get back on track, at least with a win. I still wouldn't be laying 17.5 points.
Yeah, it's too many.
Yeah.
Guy, you see a lot of action in the state. And of course, when you're talking about Alabama, a lot of fans just always play Alabama no matter what the line is. What are you seeing?
I think that one could be a very good get right spot for Alabama just because of the fact, I don't know if anybody paid attention to Eli Drinkwitz, because God knows I don't pay attention to him, but I saw it on SportsCenter the other day and he's wearing his bowl bound or bowl qualified shirt. So Missouri is celebrating being bowl qualified. Alabama's pissed off because they lost to who last week? Oh, that'd be Tennessee. Okay, so Alabama's ticked off. I don't know if something's wrong with Milroe or what. You saw Ryan Williams, you know, posting his fingernails. He got them painted orange after they lost to Tennessee, lost a bet. You know, Alabama Nation's going crazy, going, what does this mean? Is Ryan Williams leaving us? No, he lost a bet. I mean, he had to do that because he had a friend on Tennessee's team. They had to paint his fingernails orange. Had nothing else to do besides that, so calm down, Alabama. But I like Alabama to get right in this game. I don't know if Milroe's hurt, so no, I wouldn't lay 18 at all because that scares me. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Alabama come out and win 28-0. I would take Missouri. I don't think Cook's going to play. I agree. I haven't seen him ruled out, but I hadn't checked this morning. I don't know that Missouri's really going to score, especially if he doesn't play, but one of their specialties is the deep ball. Well, what does Alabama give up more than anything? The deep ball. But you don't generally just pound it down the field on them. They're giving up big plays, big plays, big plays. If Milroe can get back to running the ball, they'll be just fine. But he hadn't run the ball in three games, so what makes you think he's going to now?
Which makes everybody think he's banged up.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's really amazing too, because Milroe, five interceptions his last three ball games. He's thrown six on the season, but man, the guy just seems to be finding the other team more than his own. So we'll see what happens. No one really jumping on the Alabama bandwagon this weekend, minus the 18, the 14, or anything else you could possibly get that line at. A game of the week. Last two teams undefeated in SEC play. Who would have thunk it? LSU.
Yeah, who had that preseason?
I'm telling you what. A&M, of course, home of the 12th man. They're a small favorite at home. Normally, whenever I see a home team as a very small favorite under three, I always feel like they're begging you to take that home favorite just because of the home crowd. I'm on the other side on this on LSU. Nussmeier's got 18 touchdowns. He's only completing 56% of his passes. That line's been going down every single week. Brian Kelly said it's one of the reasons he's doing it is because they're throwing the ball down the field. They're getting down the field. He's now thrown for over 300 yards, five consecutive games. And of course, you got A&M's running game that may have something to say about this game, but I think this is going to be the game to watch. This will be the first time where I've actually looked entrenched in both of these squads from start to finish because they're going to be playing each other. Case, what do you think about this particular ball game? You like games that are super close like this when it comes to the line?
I like wherever I can find value. But yeah. Unfortunately, this game might not be one of them. We're hitting back-to-back on games where I'm feeling a little foolish. Now, I will say I've had a really good read on LSU this year. I loved them last week against Arkansas. That was no sweat. I loved USC in week one. That was pretty easy. But I was kind of waiting for the spot to bet against them. And to me, that was here. I mean, back-to-back road game. They've had all these tough games back-to-back-to-back. I think they're a little beaten up. So I liked A&M, and I actually bet A&M at -3 on open. Obviously, that looks like a bad bet now. All the money's going towards LSU. I wouldn't be surprised if LSU closed a favorite here. But I'm going to ride with it. I mean, I guess LSU probably still the more talented team. I don't think there's any disagreement there, but I feel like this is a good situational spot for A&M. I feel like they are a little bit better coached. I just feel like it's tough to get up week after week for these games. I think it's pretty close, so I'll stick with A&M. I just wish I would have waited to bet it instead of being stuck with a bad number now.
Kip, you know, I don't like to be betting on Brian Kelly, but something tells me like this is a really, really important game for him. He's on the road. Something tells me, I mean, every single year he seems like he gets super close and all of a sudden you're like, holy cow, Brian Kelly's right there in the mix for, you know, the top 12 to get a playoff thing. And they end up losing the football game because of some stupid mistake. What's your thoughts?
Well, it's a bigger game for him because they come in with the USC loss. I guess you could say for both teams, I wouldn't call this an elimination game, but you really hurt your chances if you drop this game for either of these teams. I went against A&M last week at Mississippi State. I took the points, so that was an easy cover. Mississippi State always stayed within the spread. Texas A&M still doesn't have what I would consider an explosive offense. They're efficient with Wigman, but I don't think they're going to scare anybody when they have the ball. It's a really tough game to forecast because LSU has a lot of crippling injuries, particularly in their running back core. Nussmeier is just a gunslinger. He'll just fire it all over the field, but he throws it to the other team pretty often because sometimes there's collateral damage and the other guy catches it. So I really think this is an intriguing game. It's hard for me to really zoom in on who I like, but I would just say instinctively, I think A&M has gotten that label of being in first place in the league. And I don't think maybe that's really what they or anybody else expected. So I think maybe there's some self-imposed pressure, and we saw it in Starkville last week. They got through that game, but if I had to be pushed in, to a side, I would take LSU here.
Guy, LSU has won 7 the last 10 straight up. Who you got?
I think Brian Kelly's an idiot, so I would go with Texas A&M. LSU has got a better defense, but I would never bet ever on Brian Kelly. I mean, yeah, ever. So, I mean, I'm not going to bet the game at all. If I did anything, it might. If it was a 2:30 game, I'd play the under, but it's a 6 o'clock game, so who knows? I mean, I would have to go with the 12th man. Because like I said, Brian Kelly will find a way to blow it.
Yeah, I mean, every coach that's been at LSU or the last three coaches at LSU have won national titles. I don't know if Brian Kelly is going to be that fourth guy, but I'm not an X and O's guy. I'm a good eye guy, and I can't help but think that LSU didn't know what they were doing when they poached a guy from Notre Dame to come to LSU for the kind of money they're paying him, because they knew bringing him in was going to bring him a national title. And he's set up. He's right where he needs to be. He had the quarterback last year, obviously, to get that done. And Jaden Daniels, we've seen what he's doing in the National Football League, but this is where he's got to make hay.
And Tony, that list includes coaching geniuses like Les Miles and Coach O.
Yeah, and Coach O. You're right. So Brian Kelly should have a shot, right? I mean, it should be good.
Compared to them, he's a Mensa guy.
All right, we're going to get into some NFL a little bit, because our NFL has been so stinking hot. K4Wins.com. K4Wins.com. Go check our website. It's free. You can check out all of our plays. If you miss anything here on the show, you want to watch the show, find out why we love what we play, it's fine. But if you just want to go to K4Wins and do that as well, let's go around the horn and give us some of our best plays of the weekend when it comes to college. We'll get the NFL. Kai, we'll start with you in the upper left-hand corner like the Brady Bunch. What's really sticking out to you this week in college football? And I know you got a lot of team totals.
Yeah, so Illinois-Oregon game, we hadn't even talked about it. I really like the running game for Illinois to try to keep that game within the total, as well as Altmyer, their quarterback, I like. I would go Illinois over their team total of 16.5 in that game. You know, I don't want to bet a Malzahn game, but I will bring that up. BYU 2.5, I'd probably take BYU over their 26.5 team total, but I haven't really gone that way yet. You know, Arkansas, Mississippi State, SEC game we hadn't talked about. But think about this. Arkansas's last three opponents, LSU, Tennessee, A&M. Mississippi State's last three opponents, A&M, Georgia, Texas. This is a thank goodness I'm not playing an incredible team game there. I think Arkansas is a better team, but with that line, you know, who knows? I really like Vandy over their 16.5 team total against Texas. I think they're going to put some points up. You don't know if Ewers or Manning is playing, but we know Pavier. And he's put up some points, and being at home, I think they're going to put up at least 17 points.
Even though Texas still has a great defense. I mean, we knew that Texas was giving up 6 points a ball game, and now it's up to like 9.5 since they played Georgia. But I mean, that defense was number one in the country before they played the Georgia Bulldogs. Obviously Georgia was onto them in the first half.
Yeah. I kind of like Baylor tonight. I like Memphis. I mean, not tonight, but I kind of like Baylor and their team total, like Memphis over their team total. I think Indy -6.5 with, Tavon Jackson coming in at quarterback against Washington. I think Indy probably gets their team total at 31. Lions laying somewhere around 6 still. And, you know, one of my games that I don't know why, I just really like Wisconsin. If they're getting 7 against Penn State at home, the distractions that Penn State's been going through with the rape allegations surfacing again this week and James Franklin just completely ignoring it, the AD having to talk over and over and over again, I think that there may be something there. It's probably not something I'm going to play, but you know, if I had to there, and I would take Ohio State over their team total 37 against Nebraska.
Wow. Okay. Kip, we did the show, yesterday. We recorded the show, the ABC's 33-40 starting lineup that'll butt up against that Notre Dame Navy game coming up, tomorrow morning as we record the show on a Friday at 11 o'clock. And I believe that you had, the Badgers in that game. Did you not have the Badgers against Penn State?
I have picked Wisconsin as my upset of the weekend. Yes. Best bets upsets on the starting lineup. So I concur with Kai there. Before the season was high on Penn State coming in, and he has still ridden that wave, and the Nittany Lions have performed admirably. I loved USC 2 weeks ago against them, and they got behind and came back and won the game. But I still don't like the James Franklin program. There's just something about this team that I have not really felt like they're a legitimate contender, and yet here they are in the top three. They are due to take a fall. Wisconsin has gotten better and better since the Alabama debacle. They're playing at home. They're getting a touchdown. I just think they've got a good chance to maybe upset Penn State here. And I know I zone in on certain teams that I just don't really care for. And this is kind of that poster child team for me this year. So I do like Wisconsin in this game. The game of the week for me, Tony, in college, Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, they've to quote the old Richard Pryor bit about Leon Spinks fighting Muhammad Ali when he said, every time you start trouble, I'm going to grab you because I got to have it this evening. Lane Kiffin's got to have it this week. And Oklahoma, I am declaring categorically without any doubt, is the worst team in the SEC. This offense is such a dumpster fire. The defense is very skilled and very good, but it's that same syndrome where you don't want to bust your ass on defense every play all the time if you know it's not going to pay off with any results. And Oklahoma is just awful. They're going into Oxford. I think Ole Miss routes them in this game.
Any other games that you see jumping out at you there, Kip? You seen college football?
Well, I you guys are probably going to send some mental health officials over to check me out on this probably. One. But you know, this team has been the butt of everybody's jokes all year. They started off number 10. Florida State is terrible. I am not going to try and sit here and sell you that the Seminoles have had a great epiphany or are going to be a different team this week. But when you're a really bad team and now you're playing your most hated rival, who's undefeated, number 6 in the country, and you're getting 3 touchdowns, all of a sudden a meaningless season becomes, wait a minute, this is our chance to go down there and really stick it to Miami. I don't think they're going to win the game, but Miami's defense is so bad. So bad. And Cam Ward has been the difference of that team being 6-0, 7-0, whatever they are, and 4-3. I just think the Seminoles are going to have one last stand here in Miami. They got nothing to lose. I think they're going to go down there and play a respectable game. And most of their games, if you look at the scores, are the 20-16 kind of games because they have no offense at all. But I think anybody who even snaps the ball against the Miami defense is going to score some points. So I like Florida State plus 21.
That is hard to believe that that team was preseason number 10. I mean, that was one of the major screw-ups for AP writers. I mean, it really is. It's just incredible.
Just more proof that polls don't matter.
Yeah, no, they don't, but they're sure fun to look at. I've got Notre Dame, and I know that Kai and I are on opposite sides. Notre Dame's 5-2 against the spread. They're giving up 13.5 or 14. I know Navy's 5-1 against the spread as well. Notre Dame hasn't given up more than 12 points a ball game. I just don't think Navy's met a defense like this. They played Charlotte. They've played the UAB. They played Temple. They played Bucknell. They just haven't played anybody. They have not played a Notre Dame style defense. And I think Notre Dame's going to shut them up. I think this is a really important ball game for them. And of course, Notre Dame's traditionally always done really, really well against Navy. So I'm going to take Notre Dame in that particular spot. I do like LSU as the dog. I think anytime you can get them plus some points, I think that's probably a good play. Another game is the Sunflower Showdown. I'm going to be going with those Wildcats of K-State taking on Kansas. They're coming home for the first time in 35 days. K-State 5-0 under Coach Klieman. And of course, they've got a lot to play for. K-State still a good shot at making the playoffs. I think I saw the ESPN PAI. I think it was like 17% if they went out of making one of the 12 positions there for Kansas State. So I'm going to take K-State minus the 10. I think they've got a good shot at blowing out Kansas, a squad that's 1-5 against the spread. They're giving up an average of 42 points a ball game. I think this may be one of those 35-10 games at halftime. I like K-State in that game. Case, what do you like, man?
Case, KU graduate Case.
Yeah, I will say I know some really, really sharp guys. I don't have an opinion on this game, honestly. I'd probably lean K-State at under 10, but I know some probably the sharpest college football bettors in the world really love Kansas here. So take that for whatever it's worth. And also cue our theme music. We're going to have to do it a little bit lighter this week because it's not huge, but the father and son disagreement. Seems like every week Kip and I disagree on things. Not much this week.
I tried to raise him right. What can I say?
I will say I don't get, it's not just Kip, it's a lot of people. I don't get why people don't like this Penn State team. I mean, I think if you look back, I think if it was a 12-team playoff the last 10 years, I think they would have made it 8 times. I mean, yeah, they're not Ohio State. They're not Alabama. They're not Georgia. But I think James Franklin's done a great job, has a lot of talent on this team. I did not bet this game. I made it exactly 6.5. I would not be surprised if they lost. But, I mean, Penn State, they had a bad first half against USC. And then you look what they did the second half. They were unstoppable, made great halftime adjustments. James Franklin, terrible PR guy, if you saw what happened this week. But I think he's a really good coach. I like the Penn State program a lot, where they're at. I'm not betting this game. I will say I bet Oklahoma plus 21, and I think that one's actually aged really well. All the rumblings are that Trey Harris is going to miss this game, and he's really been Ole Miss's whole offense. I actually expect an inspired effort from the other side, from Oklahoma, with Seth Petrell getting fired, going back to Jackson Arnold. Hawkins obviously couldn't throw the ball. I think there's a little bit more confidence in Jackson Arnold. I don't really know where Ole Miss is right now, so I'm not expecting him to win outright, but that's a big number. I do like Oklahoma. To throw out a couple other games I like, I was evangelizing Indiana earlier, and I think you could look at my column, LasVegasSun.com. I'm not making this up. I think I've picked them every single week. I've laughed when people have been looking for spots to fade them, but maybe I'm the joke this week, because I'm actually taking Washington, including on the money line. I think the drop from Curtis Rourke to Taven Jackson is actually pretty significant. You know, I love Kurt Cignetti, so maybe he proves me wrong and smashes them, but I like Washington to win this game. And everyone likes the degenerate special, right? Hawaii late night if you're staying up till then. I like Hawaii in this game. I think that when we get to this point of the season, there's a huge split between how the Warriors play at home, how they play on the road. They get Nevada Reno at home this week. They were an underdog when I bet it, now a slight favorite. I think that's still fine as long as it stays under 3. So Hawaii and Washington, a couple other I'll throw in there.
We do more than just college football. We're going to use our pros. Go around the horn very, very quickly here in a second. Also, NHL, and of course, the NBA is starting. And I know the NBA, a lot of players do really, really well early in the season. And the National Basketball Association, go to K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com for all those plays. Anybody got any shots at the National Football League? We have about 2 minutes left here on the show. Anybody really liking anything for Sunday's action or Monday night?
Go
ahead.
Still like Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That's it.
I like Cincinnati. Yep. I can co-sign that one. That's one of my bigger plays of the week. I've had a big disagreement on this Philadelphia team all year. I don't think the defense is that good offensively. I still think there's a little bit of a disconnect. So Cincinnati laying 2.5, I'm fine with that. And you mentioned Monday night, a big ugly dog. I like the Giants plus 6.5. I think the Steelers getting a little bit too much credit. Just offensively, I know they had a good outing against the Jets, but this is not a team I want to lay a touchdown with. The Giants are banged up on the offensive line, but we saw this movie week one. They got blown out. They had a couple weeks to put it back together. They looked pretty good. I like the Giants getting that big number on Monday Night Football.
Stay away from Dallas for the rest of the year. I mean, that's one of those teams where, you know, any given week, you're just waiting for them to put up a 48-14 game and like, okay, all of a sudden it's like everyone showed up without being, you know, like they were all sober for once or something. They don't on paper, this team always, and now all of a sudden McCarthy's being called out for his play calling. I don't know what's going on. I know he's a great coach. But there's some teams you just need to stay away from. And that's one of them. And thank goodness you're taking the Cincinnati Bengals. And it could not happen to a better squad to have their quarterback, a $210 million quarterback, Deshaun Watson, pull up his Achilles tendon. I love to see my Cleveland Browns, team that I absolutely loathe, spend that kind of money and that kind of investment on Deshaun Watson. And he's absolutely screwed them over the last couple of years. I love that.
I don't know if you saw, but you know, the Cowboys, a lot of their players came out this week talking about the tours going on, and that, you know, all the people are upset. There's a lot of controversy in Dallas. I think the locker room, I think they're mad at Jerry Jones, and you can't blame him. You know, 50,000 people in, he's making $10 million. He's got to pay Dak somewhere, because he's not going to get paid by Dak with playoff wins. So, you know, he's got to make his money somewhere with them. But tell you what, a couple other things to look at. Maybe look at Baltimore going to Cleveland and look at Baltimore's team total over 27. Houston over their team total against Indy, and Washington, don't care who's quarterback, over their team total at home against Chicago.
K4wins.com, K4wins.com. Check it out. And we're on every single Friday morning. The show's usually up by Friday afternoon. You can watch it and hear it as many times you want on Tony Curry Radio. And of course, where we get your favorite podcast, we're available on every major indice, Tony Curry Radio. And you can also check out our website again, K4wins.com. Check us out and become a winner, winner chicken dinner. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We appreciate you, man.
Okay, guys.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.